Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. Joining us today, certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Didn't we just do this last Thursday? Really, Ron, what is going on around here, huh?
It's like it's a whole new season or something.
Is today really the first day of spring?
Tis.
So radical. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening.
I could tell by your tie and Shay's top that it's springtime.
Yep.
It is springtime.
Floral.
Has gesprungen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And everyone is radically energized, including the birds. So yesterday, out walking early in the morning, all the birds competing with each other, including the red-winged blackbirds.
Oh,
back.
Nice.
And almost at home, 5 overhead geese heading north. And they, Ron, they were excited.
They're going to open up their cottages.
Talking to each other. Hey, Hal, you know, look at
Hal.
Oh, man. You know, this is great. You see the grass? It's kind of brown. You know, you could just...
There.
I know, it's insane.
Springtime.
Right, I get it. But it's fun. And, of course, joining us is Shea Pataja, the CXO of Prout Financial Design, the Chief Experience Officer.
Hello.
Who heads up all of our classes, helps put that information together. Everything related to it, including reviewing the material for the class, submitting all of that to compliance people, making certain that it's legal. Communications, videos, all the rest of it, you can blame on Shay. All
mm-hmm.
right? There it is. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll take ownership on that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking... Are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
We are talking today about how the 11 types of retirement income get taxed. Can you even
and the crowd went wild.
See, I told you. They can't stand it. They're on the edge of their seats. Well, you know, we do need to know these things. And as we discussed briefly last week, taxes are not the most exciting thing in the world, but they are part of our lives. Now, it's interesting to note that about, I think this is in your Shea stats, don't mean to steal that thunder, but about 84 to 85% of taxpayers are within compliance with the United States, and compared to foreign countries, Italy and so on, which are in the 60s.
In compliance
with that means that they're paying 85% of the 100% that would have been taxed given they were completely honest on their taxes.
Do you want me to read the stat?
Yeah, why don't you?
Okay, so it's titled Honest Folks. American taxpayers pay an estimated 84% of the federal income taxes that would be collected if all taxpayers were 100% honest in completing their returns. An 84% voluntary compliance rate is what that's called, a VCR. Germany's VCR is 68%, and Italy's VCR is 62%.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
I wonder what Russia's is. Does that make you wonder? I wonder where Russia's at on that VCR.
What happens if you don't comply in Russia?
They can't talk about it.
Yeah, they can't talk about it because they're not alive, right?
You drink a special glass of Kool-Aid.
Wrong color, wrong taste. Yes, there you go. Well, all right. So the 11 types of retirement, how they get taxed. Number one, many people forget that the 401ks and IRAs are 100% taxable for income tax purposes when you draw that money out. Hmm. You know, they've been pushing those forward for that long. It's all taxable? Yeah, it's 100% taxable.
Federal and state.
Yes. Now, you get some deductions as you age, which we'll be talking about here further into the program. For those who hang with us, you can do it. So there's some automatic deductions as you get older, you'll get for federal and in some cases state returns as well. But it's 100% taxable. They lose those retirement savers love, rather, these retirement accounts because they grow on a tax-deferred basis. You just never get a 1099, ever? Well, until you at least turn 70 and a half, when you have to start taking these distributions. But they are 100% taxable.
What do you have to start taking at 70 and a half? You have to start taking IRA and 401k minimums?
You have to take IRA, 403b, SEP IRA, simple IRA, distributions at age 70 and a half. And in regards to 401ks, you have to take an RMD unless you're not an owner and still working at that firm. You're not a primary owner of that firm. Otherwise, you still have to take an RMD, even if you're working there, if you're a primary owner of that company. You'll have to pay taxes down the line. So thinking about that, my gosh, how much am I going to owe given the RMDs or the required minimum distributions that I have to take? Generally, age 60 to 70 can be really a sweet spot for those who've retired and want to convert portions of the funds that they have in their IRAs to Roth IRAs. You pay the tax at today's relatively low rates, and then in return, you get tax-free growth. It's not tax-deferred growth. It's tax-free because your principal comes out tax-free, as does the growth in the future. And it not only comes out for you, but it will also come out for your spouse if she is primary beneficiary. For your children, it will come out tax-free, even though they have to take required minimum distributions based on their age when they inherit your Roth account. So significant tax deferral, both for you, spouse, and children. Now, where could that make sense for those who are even older? Well, I'm 80. Should I still do a Roth conversion? You may. I say you may want to. Why? Because it's not just about you at this point. It's about your children. Do you believe, do you have some assurance, if you will, that they would only take the required minimum distribution and not take the full sum from that beneficiary Roth at that point in time?
Why would somebody start a new IRA and not go Roth, which is, I guess...
If they wanted the deduction up front.
Okay, the regular IRA, you get that up front.
Right.
Okay.
And or the regular 401k. Just had this discussion yesterday with prospective clients, we'll call them. And what a great strategy within a 401k is dollar cost averaging in, because the market has moved up dramatically higher. Basically, it was, as measured by the Dow, is about 22,000 on 12/24 of 2018. Christmas Eve was the low of the stock market.
Really?
Versus today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is at about 26,000 or so. Quite all right there, Ron. You're just trying to show me where the Dow is at.
Just I was going to show Shay.
25,814 to be exact. Yes, that dip. And that dip I use continuously with clients when they come in to show them the turnaround and the fallacy of trying to time a stock market. It's the most recent example and an excellent one in long-term investing and the value of that. Because what were many money managers doing, mutual fund money managers, when the market had come down, they were in there buying. Mm-hmm. The nerds on Christmas Eve being given a sale, and they were in there buying. Yes. All right. So we intend to be here next week talking about all the things you'd like to talk about, including next week, the chance of recession. Are there storm clouds on the horizon that we should talk about? So we will, given what we're getting in information about that subject. Roth IRAs, as we discussed briefly, two important caveats. You must have held your account for at least 5 years before you take tax-free withdrawals of interest. The principal comes out tax-free whenever you take it out. Whenever.
Say that again, if you will, please.
The Roth IRA. If you open a Roth IRA, the amounts that come out from principal contributions are tax-free. Income is not taxable after 5 years. But the amounts that do come out first are your principal anyway. Now, on conversions, as long as you're over 59 and a half, principal comes out first and is tax-free, as well as the income, because you've already paid the tax on that, okay? So there are different holding periods for different types of Roth IRAs, which Kiplinger does not delineate, and which we are for you here this morning. Thank you very much. Isn't that great? I'm sure
you heard it here first.
There'll be a quiz question for you later on. Now, once upon a time, Social Security benefits were tax-free. Any idea what year that was? Social Security benefits were tax-free at one time.
1988.
Great guess. Oh, yes.
When did
closer.
You say?
I said 82.
Shay wins the prize. 83.
Oh, yes.
83. 1983. The benefits still aren't taxed for many if your income is low enough. A provisional income is modified adjusted gross income plus half your Social Security benefits and all your tax-exempt interest. For those married, it's $32,000 your provisional income must be to not pay taxes on your Social Security benefits. For amounts between $32,000 and $44,000 for joint filers, up to 50% of your benefits are taxable. 50. For amounts above $44,000 for joint filers, 85% of your benefits are taxable. 85 max. So obviously then 15% of your Social Security income is not taxable. Something to think about in terms of your overall incomes. Always take a look at this with your tax advisor and or financial advisor. How much, what is our total income? And then what is our tax going to be approximately? So you can go into this knowing.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of advisors aren't very, taxes aren't their thing. So that's why
Correct.
You and Heidi have the Ed Slot Association there that you get constantly educated on.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And are able to educate our clients and then hopefully help clients avoid some of the tax on these situations. Looking at the tax brackets, I bet I'm looking at tax brackets with clients at least once per day. Okay, if we convert it, how do we fill up that bracket, the 12% bracket, relatively low these days? And in terms of making the determination, does it make sense to pay the tax now or later, given your particular situations? Now, most pensions are funded with pre-tax income. Means the full amount of your pension income would be taxable when you receive the funds. Payments from private and government pensions are usually taxable at your ordinary income rate, whatever your total income is, all right? Whether it's 12 or 22% or further.
In Michigan, the Snyder administration came in and they decided to tax pensions, which were not being taxed. And now there is talk amongst the new governor, Democrat Whitmer, and some Republicans about changing that so that pensioners would not have to pay tax on their income.
Yes.
That's not fair for those people who do not have pensions but are paying taxes on their 401k or IRA income, it seems. That's just my take and my opinion from the material as presented so far.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And that's a great argument.
Yes.
And I had not heard that to date. Interesting,
uh-huh.
Ron.
Uh-huh.
Good point.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So Michigan state tax is taxed at 4.25% for taxpayers born before 1946, approximately 73 today, if you will. All right. Mm-hmm. Military pensions and federal, state, and local government pensions are exempt if you were born before 1946. Private pension income is also exempt, up to $51,570 for single filers, $103,140 for joint filers for 2018. Also a deduction for interest, dividends, and capital gains up to $22,500 for joint filers. So there's some ins and outs of the state tax exemptions. Now, there are partial exemptions for those born between 46 and 52, but if I go into this detail, I'm going to lose everyone in the dust. let it be known that those born up to 1952 get some benefits. And all those who turn 67, the deduction for pension retirement benefits is replaced by the standard deduction against all income of $20,000 for single filers or $40,000 for joint filers.
It's age discrimination if they have different levels for different ages.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. So it is.
It is.
It is age discrimination. It is age participation.
Like, say you come in here and you want to buy a box of cereal. It's $4 if you're under 40. If you're over 40, it's $6. And if you're over 70, it's $10.
That just, my mom would do all my grocery shopping then.
Yeah.
That'd be my strategy.
Mommy, I do want those Cheerios.
I want those Lucky Charms. Oh, no, Fruit Loops. That was the one in high school.
Fruit Loops. Oh,
how is it in high school? You're so skinny and you live on junk, like carbs. You have like nothing but cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Man.
It's embarrassing to admit. Our primary food, I grew up on a farm in mid-Michigan, were Snickers bars and Mountain Dew.
Wow.
Big time.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I do have a weakness for Snickers.
Brain food.
It's like, did you hear nostalgic? That?
Bad stuff.
I forget what company. They killed off Count Chocula and Frankenberry.
Did they
so
really?
They think there's a serial killer on the loose.
Stop it. I knew it was a dad joke. I just wasn't sure where it was going.
Oh, that is great.
Oh, geez.
It's a serial killer.
Just when you think financial planning can't have rabbit trails, you're wrong.
Yes, indeed. IRAs qualify for the Michigan Retirement Income Exemption, Ron.
IRAs qualify for the Michigan Income Tax Exemption.
Distributions and the earnings from those contributions, if the contribution weren't matched by the employer, as well as all distributions from 457 plans, basically county, certain local government employees, are considered taxable, deferred compensation. So that portion is taxable. For taxpayers born before 1946, private pension income is exempt up to $51,000 for single filers, $103,000 for joint. All right. Taxpayers born between 1946 and 52, private pension income is exempt up to $40,000 for joint filers, half that for single. Once these taxpayers turn 67, the deduction occurs from the standard deduction for federal deduction. For taxpayers born after 1952, they may not exempt private pension income. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Clear as mud.
Mm-hmm. Clear as mud.
And several other details there, which those you may want to avail yourself of. By the way, before I forget, thank you to all those who have come in to see us already this year. We certainly appreciate it. And we're seeing a lot of radio listeners, and we're grateful for it. And the conversations that we're having, frankly, are fun. It's fun. The variety, it keeps us, a better chance, I'll just say, of keeping us sharp and hearing from people, their concerns, issues, dreams, hopes. That's the fun stuff. It really is. So next, if you sell stocks, bonds, or mutual funds that you've held for more than a year, the proceeds are taxed at long-term capital gains rates. For a 2018 tax year, if you're single with taxable income less than $38,000 or married filing jointly with taxable income under $77,000, your long-term capital gains are taxed at zero. So really quite favorable capital gains rates in some respects. But before you liquidate an asset, especially those assets with capital gains, remember to check this again with your tax advisor. What will my cost be if I, and many times that gain is included back in income, then to figure the tax otherwise. That's part of it. And keep in mind, any loss carry forwards that you've had are good against 100% of those capital gains. Loss carry forwards, let's say it's $40,000 as a carry forward, is good against 100% capital gains versus a normal $3,500, I think it is, per year that you can take as a loss or carry forward each year. Huge benefit for those who are thinking of taking a capital gain if you have a loss carry forward from previous years. That can be extremely helpful. Next is exclusion ratios on annuities. Some parts of annuity income may be non-taxable. You purchased what's called a non-qualified annuity, let's say 10 years ago. Pretty conservative instrument, but now you need income from it. Let's say you put in $150,000 10 years ago. Today, it's worth, to keep it simple for me, that's quite a good rate of return, but let's just say it's worth $300,000. About half of that income, if you were to take that income over a 5, 10, 15, 20-year period, about half the income would be non-taxable to you. Non-taxable. Mm-hmm. Tax-free. Because your principal comes out as well as the interest, according to the IRS, to help you determine how much is taxable. In some respects, those can be excellent instruments for income, in essence, being part of a pension, if you will, coming from an insurance company. So think about those sources of income. That is incredibly valuable to those who are retired. What are the assets that I own that make not only the most sense for guaranteed income, perhaps, but also tax-wise? And what, if you will, games can I play moving forward? You are never without options on your financial horizon, no matter what age, 71, 81, 91. All right? That can be exciting. So the insurance company will tell you what the exclusion ratio is once they figure out what the income is, and that's important to know given that you're drawing income from a non-qualified contract. That means it's not within an IRA or other pension account. If it's in an IRA, then it's 100% taxable still. There is no exclusion ratio, it's called. I actually had to look that term. I'd forgotten what that term was. Couldn't find it Googling it. So thank goodness the old gray cells came to the fore there. Now, life insurance proceeds. Oh. This is there's a lot of confusion on life insurance. Let's hit our question first, and we'll go to this.
Then we'll go to life insurance proceeds next. But first, Susan is back with us. Good morning, Susan, in Traverse City.
Hi, good morning. Sorry about that. I got disconnected on my end earlier. So my question comes in. Thank you for covering the taxable for the Roth IRAs at retirement versus the taxable for 403Bs. Now, is there a rule of thumb? In a 403B, I'm already putting in 16% of my income into my 403B. The employer matches 2%, 4%. They add 2% at 4. And with my Roth, I'm putting in, I'm not maxing that out. So right now I have five times more in my 403B that I do in my Roth for planning for retirement for tax-free income so I don't get into the additional with the Social Security taxes. Mm-hmm. Is there a rule of thumb how to balance out the Roth and the retirement IRAs or 403Bs in this case?
Well, there's not a rule of thumb I can give you on the radio, but generally I can tell you in the Roth it's always more. Try to continue to add more to that particular option because of the amount you already have in your regular 403B that will be fully taxed when you draw it out at retirement versus what's fully non-taxed today. Given today's historically low interest rates and the fact that you can average in, again, dollar cost averaging using, I just talked with a gentleman yesterday, longtime friends from years ago, came in to see us, and they're going to start the Roth 401k option. So if you have that Roth within your 403b, really take a look at your investment options within, number one. Number two, what percentage you're putting of your contribution into that Roth option. All right? Consider increasing those over time. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Because I have
welcome,
over 10
Susan.
Years to go. So.
Oh, that's
thank
great.
You.
That's
thank
it.
You.
See, that's all another right. caveat or a piece of information that's important. So generally, you want to discuss these particular issues with a financial advisor,
all right? Thank
directly.
You very much.
You're
all right.
Welcome.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
As we go back to 11 types of retirement income and how they're taxed.
It's just exciting the number of vehicles that people have to take advantage of today is really incredible. And there are opportunities that still exist in spite of this market being at its current level. for those who have the ability to currently save dollars on a monthly basis. Now, if you have earned income, again, you're 80 years old. You're not part of a 401k. If you have earned income, that means a job, if you will, then you can still contribute to a Roth IRA. Still contribute. Something to look forward to, Shay, as you age. Mm-hmm. All right. I can see she's so excited about that. So life insurance paid to a beneficiary upon the death of the insured person is free from tax, tax-free. So I pass away. Jill receives what's in the life insurance policies tax-free. So, yeah. I mean, we're talking shiny car, the whole thing, Disney World, all tax-free.
All tax-free.
Disney World. See? I love how you always go back to Disney World. let's dig into that a little bit.
Disney World.
What's a Disney tenant? My parents took us to Disney World when I was 18, but by then it wasn't cool.
No, you were probably
I was
bored teenager.
Yeah, and I always felt bad about that because, you know, it was a big deal for your parents to take you to Disney World.
So you didn't feel like you appreciated it enough?
I mean, I would have more fun now, but at 18 I was like, man, I mean, cartoons, jeez. I'd find the nearest spa at Disney World.
Relax, yeah. Stay off that Space Mountain ride.
The Mickey Mouse
Not
Spa.
Good. Way too dark.
My
way
dad
too jerky.
Did it. My dad did that. And
did
he
really?
Loves rides.
Yeah.
We found him on a bench. We found him on the bench, like with his holding his head bent over. And we're like, are you okay? He's like, I am not okay. I am not. And my dad is the nicest, most mellow guy, but he was like, stay away. Wow. I am not okay. He had to take a Dramamine and go to bed. Basically. Yeah. All right.
Dividends from stocks. Huge benefits. In terms of taxable income, basically taxed at capital gains rates and qualified dividends may only be taxed at a max of 15%. So dividends from companies, significant tax advantages for those who invest in individual common stocks or for those who invest in mutual funds that own the same outside of retirement accounts. Outside of your retirement account. Municipal bond interest is exempt from federal tax and also state income tax. Interest from bonds issued by an investor's home state, there you go, state of Michigan, exempt from both state and federal interest. Typically earn a bit less, though, in interest because of that tax exemption from Michigan. Now, next is Series EE bonds, generally non-taxable. Tax deferred until they are redeemed. Keep in mind that when you stop earning interest, first of all, you want to make certain that you are earning interest on those double E bonds. Many we've seen do not earn interest anymore, and you want to liquidate those.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.